Welcome to Authors of the Pacific Northwest, where we connect Pacific Northwest authors with new listeners and provide advice for aspiring authors on the business of writing. I'm your host, Vicki J. Carter. So hi, listeners. Welcome back to the podcast. And I have one of my other great friends who is what we call a triple threat in my little group, because she is a published illustrator, an author, and she also owns an Etsy store. It's J.H. Winter. So J.H., why don't you come on and say hi to everybody? That's her pen name. So
yeah, J.H. Winter stands for Julianne.
Thank you. my podcast listeners are going to find out that I struggle with names a little bit. So do you mind if I call you Julianne in the podcast?
Okay, that's great. Cool. That's great.
So Julianne, tell us first what state you live in the Pacific Northwest, kind of what job you currently have besides those three I talked about, and any other background you want to share with our listeners.
Sure. So right now I'm living in Washington State, just down in Ridgefield area. And aside from that, with working, I'm just focusing right now on my illustration work and also my writing. So I'm an at-home mom. I was lucky enough to be able to do that when we moved up here from California. So yeah, so that's been great to be able to stay home with the kids. And then any free moment I have, I get my work done. So.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Well, stay-at-home mom is a big enough job in itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is very much so.
So, okay. So as far as your publishing goes, kind of tell us about that, because I'll let you introduce what you're published with, and then we'll talk a little bit about that process.
Okay. Right now, the published work I have is from being an illustrator. So I illustrated the series Theodore and the Enchanted Bookstore by author Christine Kibbe. She goes by the pen name Kay Kibbe. And so we've so far done two books. The first one is out and available on Amazon and all the general retailers. And then the second book I just finished illustrating the end of last year. And so we're hoping that that one will come out later on this year, book two for the Theodore series. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a really awesome experience to illustrate for her. And we had been friends prior to that. So we met on Twitter just through, neither of us can remember who messaged the other one first. But somehow the connection was made years ago. And then when I moved up this way, and she lives just about 30 minutes away from me, then we were able to finally meet. And it's been a great friendship. And when she had this project coming up with Incognito Publishing, she had immediately thought of me because she had seen my work and my illustrations online whenever I post them. And she's always been a fan of mine. So she asked if I had ever drawn a dog, and I said, no. And she said, would you try to? What do you think about trying to?
Yay, commission work.
Yeah. So I was like, well, you know, challenge is always a good thing. So, yeah, so I definitely started researching on Google Images and figuring out what does a corgi look like, you know, and trying to get the best expressions I could for her character. She sent me the manuscript so I could kind of try to pick a scene that I wanted to give a go at. And I picked a couple of scenes. I drew up a few pictures, and the publishers loved my work above all the other illustrators. So it worked out really well.
So cool. So if readers haven't seen this book yet, we're going to have Kay Kibbe on the podcast as well. And I don't know what order she's going to be in the episodes, but she and Julianne have donated a copy of the book as part of one of my freebies that we're doing. So adorable storyline. This corgi gets himself into some serious little jams and troubles, but it's very good. So lovely. And you did lovely work with him. He was.
Oh, thank you.
Loved it. So going back to the publishing part of it. So this is your first experience with publication and publishing, right?
Yeah.
Nice. So are the corgi, what is the, it's Corgi Publishing? I can't remember the name.
Oh, it's Incognito Publishing Press.
Incognito Publishing Press. Okay. So are they an independent a smaller publishing house? Is that kind of what they are?
Yeah, they're a smaller publishing house. Christine knows more about sort of their journey, but I know that they started out as a different publishing company, and then it sort of split apart, and she went with them, and it became Incognito. So yeah, it's still coming on, getting off the ground, and they have this new little mini press within their publishing group called Corgi Bits, and that's where these middle grade stories are coming out. And so I believe they only have one other series right now that's for middle graders. But I think, if I'm remembering right, it's about Bigfoot. But
you know, Bigfoot's like a hot topic right now here in the Northwest. Like,
oh yeah.
For me growing up here, a Sasquatch, Bigfoot, you know, we all knew about it. So all you Northwesterners that grew up here, you know this, right? It's like a big legend, but it's like a huge thing. Now we have these festivals and stuff. I'm just mesmerized by it. And there's some authors that have done some pretty amazing work around Bigfoot and Sasquatch. Yeah. Amazing. I'm like, Bigfoot, what? You know, for my own, it's the big squirrel fest. We're all into squirrels around here. So too. So I don't know. Northwesterners were kind of funny.
Yeah.
So when you worked with the publisher, you worked directly with the publisher with your actual drawings and things like that. Kind of talk us through that process, because there's a lot of illustrators out there that haven't been given the privilege of having a friend that asked them yet, right? Yeah. So you really got in on the door.
I did. I really lucked out there. She knew that I needed to get some experience under my belt, and she loved my work. And so, I mean, it was just knowing the right person at the right time. Yeah. So working with a publisher as an illustrator is, I assume, a lot different than working as a writer. And for me with Incognito, what would happen is I would have a certain amount of time. They gave me, for the first book, I had about 3 months to do the story, to get it all, get all the illustrations done. I had to do the cover, which was a color, in complete color. And then I had to do another, I want to say it was about 7 illustrations inside the book. Mm-hmm. And the second book, it's 6, but yeah, so I had to get all those done in 3 months. I started off doing the roughs and just doing them in pencil and sending those off and saying, you know, is this what you're looking for? And then we would bounce ideas off of each other. They don't really have an art director, that would communicate with me. So it was really just me talking to the 2 people that own the company, the mm-hmm. brother sister team that own the company. Yeah. So it was really just having the feedback from them. And when I read the story, I came up with ideas as far as where I thought illustrations would fit best. Mm-hmm. And then I had a communication with them on the phone and talked about my ideas. And because there wasn't an art director, they're not as visual of people. Yeah. And so they were kind of like, yeah, that sounds great. You know,
lucky you, right?
Lucky me, right? So yeah. So they didn't really fight me. And I gave them a few options here and there, and then they would select which ones they thought would be best. But, it was just going through the roughs. They would come back saying, yes, this is great. Or no, can you change, you know, his expression? I want him to be more this way or that way, whatever they felt would look better. And then I would adjust the rough, let them know. And then we go back and forth. Didn't take that many times though. And after that, I would be able to do the finals. And so once they were at the stage of doing the finals, that was it. You know, it was no more adjustments. They had already, this is what you're getting. I'm going to do it in pen and ink for the interior. And then the cover art was done in Prismacolor pencils, which is one of the mediums that I really like working with. So
I love those too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get it to look kind of painterly if you saturate it enough with pencil. So yeah.
So where did the author input come into it? Because she had already written the whole book, submitted it to publishing. I wonder if in a different situation, if you would ever have worked with the author, and did she, I mean, you don't have that experience, so you might not be able to know, because this is a friendly relationship.
Yeah.
So did you and her go back and forth before you submitted to the publishing?
We did. That was by my choice. I think Christine would have just taken a back seat, but for me as an author as well, or as a writer, I would want that for myself. You know, I would want the illustrator to, if it wasn't me, I would want somebody to bounce ideas off of me and want my feedback and that kind of a thing. And so her opinion was actually the most important to me, above and beyond the publishers, because I just really wanted her to love her story, you know, and I felt like she would love it more by seeing her characters on the page. So we worked through, you know, when I originally drew Sam, who is the owner, who becomes the owner of Theodore throughout the story. When I first drew him, she thought, I think should be a little younger, you know? So it's like, so we would go back and forth, you know, and it was really good for me to bounce ideas off of her that way and get them to where she loved them. And so I don't know how much she enjoyed getting all those messages, but I'm like, how does this look?
You know? It's good for us authors. You know, we like to hide in our little cave and not communicate. And you know, some of us are worse than others, right? And so it's probably true. Even though she won't admit it, maybe.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit, just briefly, you mentioned you're also an author. And so that's part of your triple threat that I mentioned. Tell us a little bit about what you've authored. They're not published yet, but you're working towards that goal.
I'm working hard towards that goal. I want to go traditional. Mm-hmm. So first I want to find an agent. Mm-hmm. And I have 3 manuscripts written up. The first one I wrote it about 8 years ago now, Adeline and the Mystic Berries. Uh-huh. And it was back when my husband and I weren't married yet. We were back in Florida and I wasn't working. I had moved out there to be with him and I had no job. And so I had all the time in the world. And I just got this idea for a story because I was on Etsy. That's what I was doing at the time. I was crocheting amigurumis, which are crocheted plush toys.
That's her third threat there.
That's my other threat. Yeah, that's right. So I was selling those online. And during that time, you know, I was getting lost on Etsy, which is so easy to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I could spend hours just looking at other people's work. Yes. And there was this one store called Enlightened Platypus. And it was this woman that took recycled sweaters and she would cut them up and then re-sew them together in a patchwork of brilliant, brilliant color patterns and things. They look like Technicolor dream coats, you know, and kind of witchy looking, and they were long and kind of looked almost like a dress and they'd flare out. And anyway, I just started thinking, gosh, what would it be like if the world didn't have color, you know, and especially for us artists, you know, we love color. We work so heavily with color. And so to not have that, that was kind of what sparked the idea for Adeline's story. And it is a fantasy story. So there's a reason why her world doesn't have color. And she will find that out throughout the story and figure out that there may be a way to bring it back.
Oh, I'm super excited. And that's the story you're going to read from in our excerpt from readings for our listeners to know, right?
Yeah, I'm going to read from that one. And I'm also going to read from the picture book that I'm working on right now. It's an alliteration picture book with the letter B, and it's called The Bookworm of Blackwood Briar. And it's about a bookworm named Benny. So I will read a little bit from that as well.
So I've heard them, listeners, already. So they're fantastic. So you're in for a treat. But you got to listen to some more questions, Richard, first before we get there.
Yeah. So the other book that I wrote it's still in its rough stages. So I'm not going to read that one today, but it was an amazing experience to write because it was during 2015's NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. Mm-hmm. And your challenge is to write 50,000 words in a month. And for me, it became 75,000 words and an entire book. I couldn't stop. Once I started, I couldn't stop. And I'm sure a lot of it is ramblings and I really need to go through and edit it still. But
you still did it. You know,
I still did it.
And we never finished that month.
Yeah, I still did it, much to my husband's chagrin, because, you know, before the month started and I was even mulling the idea of doing such a thing over, he just thought, this is just too crazy, you know, this amount of time that you're going to need to do this. And we had, our son was 2, and, you know, I was working part-time at a library. And so I just, you know, all the cards were against me. But at the same time, a friend of mine who wanted to do it, she really pushed me to, because she wanted me to push her into doing it, basically. And so the funny thing with that is that I ended up finishing, and she, I don't even know that she got through like 10 pages of her book.
Sounds like me. I do have a goal this year to start in it and finish. So you're going to have to help me to
get, I will help you,
past my humps in November. I already put it on my agenda, so we'll see if I do it this time.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, but I mean, it was me working, basically, if I was on desk at the library and there was no patrons there, I was on my computer and I was typing up as much as I could. You know, it was pretty quiet since it was a library.
Exactly.
And then during my lunch, I was on a notebook writing it up. And then at night, I would compile all those bits together and put them into the manuscript. I'd get up early to write, and I'd, you know, stay up as much as I needed to get the amount of words I needed for that day. And so, yeah, it was intense, but it was amazing. And I'm really glad that I did it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something about authors that I'm discovering over and over again. And I know about myself is that most of us, we have other lives. I mean, we're not doing authoring full time, and we would love to, but not many of us can do that. And so we have to write in little pieces and chunks of time. And that's why I like that challenge, is that it does force you to do that for a month. And the idea is that you can continue that moving forward. So my podcast listeners, I might not be producing many podcasts in November, because I might challenge all of you guys to do this as well. And we'll be all typing away, but we'll see how that goes. So you talked about that challenge. You also do a blog, and there was a challenge on the blog that I thought was very interesting for anybody that's interested in blogging. Julianne was telling me about this. I'm like, oh, this is such a great challenge. So share with us about that challenge as well.
Sure. So in April, so just coming up, if
you're
interested.
Oh no, I'm not ready.
For bloggers, there's a challenge called the A to Z challenge. And for that month, you are challenged to write a blog each day, except for Sundays. And each day it's pertaining to a different letter of the alphabet. And within that, you need to create a theme. And so, or it, you find that it's a little easier if you create a theme. You don't have to, but for me, I went with my blog's theme, which is just artistic variety, because I'm interested in so many things that are art and craft and writing related, that I wanted to just be able to use all of those and put them into the blog. And so for me, since my blog was just starting at the time, I wanted to have more posts, and this was a great way to get those posts and have sort of an idea. It's about building a community of bloggers. Your goal is to go onto other people's blogs, comment, follow if you love them, you know, and just really put yourself out there and see what happens. And for me, it ended up being that I ended up getting an additional 70 subscribers.
Oh, wow.
I had over 18,000 new users and 29,000 page views. So it really worked out.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You know, because otherwise I was just unseen for the most part, and I was really struggling to build anything. And so doing that really helped me gain people that I'm still following now, you know, so it worked out really well. And, I would highly recommend it for people that are in the blogging community. For me, blogging was about building my author platform. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have something going so that when I'm going to try to find an agent, I have somewhere for them to go to see some of my work, to see my portfolio, my sketchbook, and also things that I'm interested in, you know, and see who they're working with. Exactly. So that's why I have it up there. Yeah.
You're so smart. This is why she's the triple threat. She's very smart about this stuff. So the other piece about this kind of goes into your Etsy store and the marketing. So all of us aspiring authors realize that we have to put ourselves out there. As much as we may be introverts, we really have to get out there. We have to use social media. We have to do websites. We have to do some blogging. I'm doing the podcasting because I love the idea of podcasting. We're getting ourselves out there. So one way that you've done that was also through your creativity with your Etsy and your crochet and knitting, because you hit a milestone. So share with the listeners about that. And I'll make sure all of your contacts so people can find you is in the show notes. But tell us about that.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do was I actually wanted to brand myself. So what I first did was created the name of my blog, which is Ink and Stitches. and it's The Writerly and Creative Life of J.H. Winter. And I was really into the story life of A.J. Fickrey, that book that had come out when I was trying to come up with my name. So I think I sort of played off of that, but, but yeah, so ink and stitches, ink, obviously illustrative and writing, and then stitches. I love to create. So, and I wanted that to carry forward. So what I did was I created an Etsy store, which is Ink and Stitches Art. Mm-hmm. And I plan, it's up. It's right now, it's on vacation mode because I'm doing a class in Storyteller Academy for the picture books. And I've just got too many things going on to try to make amigurumis right now. But it is up there. So you can start following it. But I sell the amigurumis that are the creations that I've made myself. I had previously had an Etsy store with a different name, and that one I had focused on making anime related cartoon geeky characters. But I ended up speaking with actually a lawyer, just finding out, you know, is this okay for me to do? Is it okay to sell my patterns if the character is created from somebody else? Uh-huh. And I found out that, you know what, it's really not a good idea. And I didn't want that to be tied to my writerly life, you know? And so I closed that Etsy store, and I wanted to create one that was just my own characters that I came up with myself. And so that's where the Etsy store came in. And then I also had a lot of questions from people. You know, I would post free patterns on my blog. Yeah. And then I'd have a lot of people saying, oh, how do you do this? How do you do that? Because they were new to crocheting.
Yes.
And so I felt like, you know what, instead of answering the same question and trying to type it up and, you know, if you're a visual person like I am, it's really hard to figure that out by reading it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create a YouTube channel where I could teach whatever it was that they needed. And so one of my best patterns that people love is the Happy Sunflower. And I've had a lot of questions about, oh, how do you do this and how do you do that? And so I've got numerous videos about the sunflower, and it ties into just creating amigurumis. So the Ink and Stitches YouTube channel that I have is focused on crocheting, how to crochet, but also more specifically how to make amigurumis, because it's a really neat thing to do. You know, it's just not your grandma's crocheting anymore. Oh, it's totally different than what I ever thought crochet could be. Yeah. And so when I found this little niche, I ran with it.
Oh my gosh. And it's so funny because in the last year or so, I didn't know you yet. And I went from granny squares. I was so bored with granny squares. Okay. So for my listeners that are not crocheters, I'm sorry, but I'm going to talk about it a little. So bored.
We're geeking out here about crochet.
I found doing these dolls and stuff, and I loved it. And then I meet you, and I'm like, oh, I have to have that pattern, the sunflower pattern. So I am one of her subscribers. So if you're into crocheting, definitely subscribe. But you hit a milestone on YouTube.
I did. I reached 1,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. I was so excited.
So we celebrate with you. It's
fantastic. Yes. And I am going to be doing a giveaway soon. So if you subscribe, good. I will be posting the giveaway soon. I was asking people whether they would want one of my art prints or amigurumis. So far, I think amigurumis are winning, but I know, right? It's neck and neck. So.
Okay. Maybe for Christmas, you'll do something for me, right? Coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, exactly. You
know. Well, that's why you're a triple threat, because you're also got pretty smart with, you know, having that in marketing. You've already done videos and on YouTube and that kind of stuff. So that's something that I was impressed with when I was looking at you and the things that you've done before we met and interviewed. I'm like, this girl, she's getting it. She has to be out there, and she's doing things that you love, which is very important too.
I love it. And yeah. I have this dream of all these things that I want to create. And one of them is an amigurumi book of patterns. And I already have the theme picked out and everything. It's just finding the time to sit down and making that my focus project. But especially if you're planning to be a nonfiction writer, you have to have an author platform, and they highly encourage you to have a blog. You need to show that you mean what you say and that you are, you know, you're a professional, that people want to follow you, that people want to listen to you. And so that is why I really created that YouTube channel. And to have 1,000 subscribers is great. You know, I mean, I know there's people out there with 50,000, but hey, you know what? I have to hit 1,000 first before I can hit 50.
So. I've been on plenty of the YouTube channels, and I haven't told you this because I just started watching your YouTube channel as I'm working through the pattern that I promised you I would do, right? And you're very clear, so I appreciate that. And not all of my YouTube channels that I've watched before have been clear, so you do well. So,
oh, that's great feedback. Thank you.
You're going to be moving forward. So that's awesome. Okay. So last big question that I have for you, and this wasn't on the agenda that we had talked about before, so I'm going to throw you for a loop again, but here we go. So what information would you like our listeners and your future readers know about you and your future plans?
My future, I plan to basically get myself out there as much as I can. I want people to know the name J.H. Winter, and I want agents to know it. I want people to see my work. My goal that's forthcoming here is that next month I plan to pitch my Benny book idea. So this is my alliteration picture book idea at a conference that's being held up in Seattle. And I already have my agent picked out. I'm really excited to pitch to her. And so, you know, hopefully I will find that agent. That's what I want. So if once I get that agent, that the next step is traditional publishing. If Benny gets me in the door, then I'm hoping Adeline will follow. And then we'll go from there, you know? So I really want to be out there as an author and illustrator. But yeah, so I'm going to go to the conference. After that, it's just about pitching. They have a picture book. It's a hashtag PB party up on Twitter coming up this month, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be putting my stuff out there for that too.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you're getting out there, and that's the big thing that, you know, that's what all of us need to do. I call it the hustle. You got to hustle. You know, you can't just expect something to drop out of the sky for you. So
definitely.
So moving into your readings, I would love you to share with our listeners. So listeners, yay, finally we get to hear our readings, but thanks for listening to all the great stuff beforehand. So before you start the reading, set us up for what's going on kind of in the story, the characters, as much as you want to reveal before you read. Okay. And then, and definitely give us the title, and we will all be looking forward to when they're published, because I believe that you will be published way before I will, for sure. And so we're looking forward to hearing them. So,
all right. So the first one I'm going to read from is my first written book, which is Adeline and the Mystic Berries. This is for middle graders. It's a fantasy story. And this is the one where the color goes out of the world. And so this first chapter is actually told from the perspective of a character that you'll meet later on in the story. And this is kind of the setup for why the world is the way it is. Okay. So Adeline, chapter one, an end and a beginning. The ground shook with a violence I had never felt before. I could see nothing. All I could do was listen, feel. The root system that once gave such warmth and protection became taut like a cord ready to snap from the strain. Then the screaming began. Being a seedling this far below the surface, I'd never known what it felt like to speak. I wasn't even sure I could. Not all of us trees were able to, after all. The sounds coming from above made me never want to try. An incessant pounding beat down from above. The earth around me fell away. What's going on up there? No answer came. Mom, you there? I had barely begun my training on how to tap into the interlocking consciousness of the forest around me. Still images of flaming boulders and wild trees thrashing in the red flames told me everything. Something was attacking us, and we weren't winning the fight. The temperature grew so intense around me, I felt as though I was being boiled in a sea of soil. Panicked voices filled my mind all at once. I couldn't pick out any one of them. I kept quiet, helpless and afraid of what was coming. Size wasn't on my side, and neither was experience. I was a baby, yet to burst from the ground. I had no power. Surrounded by muffled screams, there was nothing I could do. As my family burned, I felt their energy reconnect with the earth. The rustling of soft green leaves rubbing together in the wind quieted as the sharp pops of crackling wood took their place. Their screams abated one by one as power surged around and through me. It did nothing to stave off the heat. There were few words that I could decipher in the chaos. Humans was one of them. Fire was another. The flames can't reach me here, can they? Fear for my own survival forced me to dig deeper. I pulled what water I could from the depths of the soil to ease the burning. Its coolness calmed the flaming blanket overhead, creating a bubble of relief. Protect him. The words made their way through the unending noise. Words spoken out loud, not from within our collective mind. Protect who? I tightened the root, holding on to my mother. The pleading voice was gone, and with it the agony. My connections to the rest of the forest were breaking, a million doors closing at once. I was beginning to understand what it felt like to be alone. As the heat receded and the noise drew away into silence, a voice came through the darkness, a woman's voice. The words made little sense, but she was obviously angry. Pressure pushed down from all sides. As it withdrew, it pulled the moisture from the surrounding soil with it. Fine cracks spread out like a spider's web spun underground. Life energy that had cycled its way back to enrich the soil, filling it with magic, was being sucked up and away. My own energy remained safe and untouched. At least that's what I'd thought until I looked up at my stem, just beginning to climb toward the surface. My body, which had once been a vibrant green, rich with new life, stood white against the dry brown soil. I watched as the last bit of green at the tip of one of my folded leaves turned creamy and pale. Then my world went black.
Oh, this is the second or third time I've heard you read this story, and I'm so engaged and ready for it to come out.
Yay.
Not wait for it. I know it's going to happen, and I really do hope you get to illustrate it, because I've seen some of your ideas and they're fantastic. So
yeah, I love drawing Adeline. She's lots of fun.
I'm in love with Adeline right now. So she's. I can't wait for my granddaughters in the future and grandchildren in the future to get to read that book. So
right, and that's my goal. So I must be doing something right.
You are. Alrighty.
All right, so the second book and the last book I'm going to read from today is my picture book that I'm going to be pitching later this month. So the title is The Bookworm of Blackwood Briar. It is an alliteration book about a bookworm named Benny. So we've got lots of bees in this one. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Benny was born between the bindings of a book. Believably so, he was bound to become the biddiest bookworm in all of Blackwood Briar. But Benny hadn't the body for building his book collection. Benny needed help. His best bet was to befriend a bug better built for bringing back books. When the birdwing butterflies bebopped by the briar, Benny's book-buying adventures began. Beatrice, the biggest of the birdwings and the best at the birdwing boogie, beheld Benny's books and knew they'd be best buds. For Beatrice was a bookish butterfly and beloved books almost as much as boogieing to a breezy beat.
Oh my gosh. And I love that one too. I'm clapping if you guys can hear me. Like I said, I can't wait for both of your books to come out and your illustrations to be there, because I just know someday my future grandchildren will love them, and I can't wait to read them. So thanks. Listeners, follow JH Winter. She'll be out on the market soon. I just can feel it. And support her. Go to her Etsy, YouTube. If you want to learn how to crochet, I'm sure she'll be happy to share her information with you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
And you're welcome. It's so much fun to be here with you.
And I'll make sure that all your information is in the show link so people can find you. And look forward to having you back on when both of these books are published.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hoped you loved hearing from the author as much as we did. If you did enjoy the author, make sure you find them on social media. Buy their book and write a review. Are you a published author and would like to be featured on the podcast? Visit us at our website to learn more. You can help support the production of this podcast by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Share the podcast with your friends. And most importantly, become a supporter. Supporters receive monthly bonus podcasts and a newsletter filled with tips from our authors. To find out more how to become a supporter, visit our website. And finally, I hope you always remember to enjoy the journey. Until next week, this is Vicki J. Carter saying goodbye.